Welcome to Naomi's Table, a Bible-based program just for women where seasoned Naomis nurture young roots with real scriptural food for the spirit, encouraging and equipping your walk in biblical womanhood. Grab a Bible, pull up a chair, and invite your friends. There's plenty of room at Naomi's Table.
Welcome to Naomi's Table, everyone. My name is Amy Spreeman, along with my co-hostess, Nancy LeMay. Hey, Nancy.
Hey.
Hey, today we're talking about counting the cost for standing for truth. The truth that we're talking about is found only in Scripture. And Nancy and I have been doing a lot of reflecting since the news broke a few weeks ago about the Supreme Court's decision to legalize same-sex marriage. And we have been hearing the fallout in Christian families. Many of you ladies are wondering what happened. My children are kind of getting all snarky with me, or they've turned their back on me. Many of you have paid this enormous price for standing by biblical truth. So today we're going to talk about that, and if necessary, the conversation will go on tomorrow as well, because there are a lot of Bible verses about families dividing over truth, aren't there, Nancy?
There are. The ones that I know we've read even recently about this are Matthew 10, starting at verse 34, where Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household." And then he goes on to say, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it." And that really ties in also to what is in Luke 14:26, where he says, "You must hate your father and mother if you are to be mine. If anyone does not hate his father and mother, his wife, his children, his brothers, his sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." It all revolves around counting the cost.
And putting Jesus first, putting the truth ahead of those who are in the world who might disagree with the Bible. And that's what we're talking about. And, by the way, Jesus wants us to love and honor our parents and other people around us. So when he says hate, he's talking about putting Jesus Christ first ahead of the opinions of others. And so we need to do that too. You know, Nancy, truth is very divisive, and the Bible says it would be. You'd be hated for loving Jesus and him and everything. But we also, need to look at our own zeal for contending for a second. We need to make sure that we're doing that in a way that honors God.
And you can do this in a way that is loving, or you could do this in a way that is really judgmental and confrontational. And we're not going to win anyone by being confrontational and judgmental. We need to first and foremost remove the log in our own eye before we can go after any kind of speck in anybody else's and confess and admit that we too have sinned gravely. And that's why we know we need Jesus as our Savior. So all sins really are equally as bad to him, and there isn't any one that's worse, although Paul does talk about the sexual sins can be worse because they are sins against your own body in addition to sins against God. Yeah. So that's why the sexual sins particularly tend to really handcuff us, tend to keep us in bondage, tend to keep us really buried under that burden of guilt and shame, even though we may be proudly professing that we have every right to do what we're doing. I think back to a show we did when we first started Naomi's Table, and it was talking about the new tendency of college women to hook up, if you will.
I remember that one.
Just for sex, and That's it. They have these men that they would just reach out to when they just needed release, if you will, and they didn't think anything of it.
But that's because it was liberating to them. Sure. They thought they had found freedom.
But funny thing, none of the women that were surveyed for that article wanted their names or even any kind of descriptor of them in the article, even an anonymous name for them, because they didn't want anyone else knowing what they were doing. That's shame. That's guilt. That's your conscience telling you, I know what I'm doing is wrong, and I would be embarrassed if anybody else found out I was doing about it. That's shame.
Yeah.
And in our society today, we've totally lost the whole idea of shame as being a good thing, something that does keep us from doing things that our conscience already tells us we should not be doing.
When's the last time you saw somebody blush? You know, it doesn't happen much anymore. I was talking with a group of Christians in fellowship, and it was so sweet. And a lot of them were saying, you know, my family doesn't agree with me on this. Even before, you know, a couple weeks ago, the Supreme Court decision, even before that, families would be divided whenever whenever Jesus would come up. But one dear woman whom I love, and she said, you know, my grandson really despises me right now. He, he has friends in high school who are gay, and he just doesn't want to have anything to do with grandma. He thinks I'm kooky, and I can so relate. I just, you know, it's hard when it hits close to home, and yet Jesus knew that too, and you know, and he told his followers, look, I've got to be first. Let the dead bury their own dead. You need to follow me first. And so a lot of us are doing that. We're trying not to look back. Like Lot's wife, you know, she looked back. We're trying not to do that. We're trying to focus on Jesus and letting the Lord work on the folks who are separating. And remember, ladies, it's really not you that they don't like, unless you're, being snarky or anything like that. It's really the name of Jesus Christ. It's the truth that they don't like. Very hard, isn't it?
Look at it as it is the Holy Spirit that is in you, that is reflecting on them and their choices in life, and that makes them very uncomfortable, and it also makes them want to get you out of their presence so they are no longer reminded of the thought that, my conscience is telling me that what I'm doing is wrong.
Yeah, and it's very hard, but you know what? You're probably going to be, as time goes on here, losing family members, losing friends, maybe not losing them, but really there's going to be that rift there. Soon you'll find that you have nothing in common with folks because the dividing line now, where it used to be kind of maybe wiggly to some people, it's pretty strong right now, and it's only going to get more and more bold.
You know, Jesus promised there would be a separation of the sheep from the goats. And goats are ones that maybe look like sheep. They may be go in herds like sheep, but they're not sheep. They are not sheep. And that's something that I think this has revealed to a lot of us, is that there are a lot of people that are calling themselves Christians, going to church every Sunday, but they do not know God.
Yeah. And you know, ladies, we are about to delve into a study, a Bible study that we've been doing for a few days now, and it's in 1 John, but it's in the context of, you know, really looking at 1 John. What does it have to say about our faith? Are we truly his child? Well, there are some tests we're going through right now, and our Bible study teacher, Lori Williams, has yet another test for us today, and that starts right now.
It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Okay, ladies, for this lesson, we're going to be in 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 27. This is the sixth test in this series as we've been going through the book of 1 John. And for this one, I have entitled it the Endurance Discernment Test. And I will just warn you right off the bat before we get started, this so far has been my favorite lesson that I have studied and prepped for. All of it is very interesting, and I'm learning a ton as I've been going through teaching this to you ladies. But by far, this lesson really has a lot of practical applications that we can take away and apply to our lives. And it deals with a lot of what is going on in evangelicalism today. And I think you'll see what I'm talking about as we get through these verses. So I'm going to start out, and I'm going to start here in verse 18, the book of 1 John chapter 2. Children, it is the last hour, and just as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this, we know that this is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out, so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father, and the one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. So we're going to go through here, and again, I know that seems like a lot of verses, but as we did in our last lesson, actually the previous one before lesson 9, we tackled a lot of verses, but this is the same theme running through verses 18 through 27, this continual warning of deception and the false teaching that is out there, and that you have to abide in Christ and you have to continue to run that race. So that's why I have picked that title of endurance discernment, because that really is what's going on here. If we endure through life and we abide in him and we look out for the false teaching that is all around us, we will abide in him and we will pass this test. So I'm going to break it down kind of verse by verse, and we're going to see what all John is trying to convey here in addition to what I've just told us. He says in verse 19, basically that departers, that's who we're talking about here. That's a characteristic of false believers. They're departers. They went out of us because they were not truly of us. They departed from the word, the church, fellowship, everything. They left. They just left. They departed from all that was true. So think about that as we continue to go through this test and see if you can see that characteristic either in yourself or in others, that seems to be a continual pattern. They just continue to abandon and depart from the truth, from church, from fellowship, from all of it. And not only that, they lead people to do the same. So not only are they leaving, but they're taking others with them, and they're stirring up trouble in the pursuit of doing that. And I want to be real clear here. We're not talking about clear false teaching in a church where you start to see Hinduism and Buddhist and New Age practices coming into an evangelical church. And these people, you know, get upset, they get concerned, they go talk to the pastor, and they feel that they need to leave. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff, so I want to be real clear as we go through here. This is talking about people who are in true churches, they're hearing the word of God, they're hearing the truth, and they are departing. They are leaving from it because they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear about sin and conviction and the cross and the blood and the atonement. They want to depart from that. So I want to just clarify that right off the bat so that we don't think and make excuses for anyone that is just, actually leaving unbiblical churches for the right reasons. So just to clarify. So then again, we go to that concept of they take people with them. And this is what the false teachers were doing in John's day. They were doing that very thing. They don't endure through the trials of life. They depart from all of it. They don't persevere and endure and run that endurance test. Then in verse 20 and 21, we start to see that they're going to point us back to the signs of a believer. So he again, we kind of go back and forth with this style that I've told you about, this back and forth, positive to negative polemic style that John uses. It's classic John all through here. You're going to see that a lot. So here we have the negative, then we're going to go back into the positive, verse 20, verse 21, where he starts talking about, you have the anointing from the Holy One. This is how you will know. And then it starts to, you know, reaffirm, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know the truth. So do you feel that tension there, that positive and negative? He's referring back to who doesn't believe and who does. Very good writing style. I love how he does that. It can be hard at times to understand, but that's what he's trying to convey to us here. And so when we see this, he's reminding us that Christians have the Holy Spirit, which helps to protect us from departing and knowing truth from error. He's reminding us that we do know the truth. We know the truth. We have discernment. And I'm going to camp out here for just a little bit, ladies, and we're going to talk about discernment. Yes, the big D word. This is vital to your Christian life. It is so important. I can't stress it enough. Discernment, discernment, discernment. You have to test everything, as the Bible tells us. You have to test all of it. There's so much coming in the name of Jesus and Christianity and truth that is nothing but that. It is so much of a departure from truth that people aren't even seeing it. People are buying into it. Jesus calling, the New Age movement. We're going to talk, you know, think about things like yoga, Hinduism beliefs, this meditation, this karma, this, you know, you can be your own God. You can tap into the divine being and your chakras and all that stuff. All of that is coming into the church, and people are buying it hook, line, and sinker. And ladies, it's especially females. It is especially the female believers that are buying into this junk. And it's Jesus calling, like I mentioned. Sarah Young is a New Age channeling author, I guess if you want to call her that. She is clearly deviating from the truth of God's word. She is speaking on behalf of Jesus in the first person. That is dangerous. And we need to have better discernment to know that that is error. And so I want to just encourage you in this pursuit of this test, not only do you endure, but you will be discerning. And why will we be discerning? Well, it tells us right there in verses 20 and 21, it is a reminder that we have the Holy Spirit to protect us from departing from the truth. We will know truth from error. So we just have to really, really focus on that. And I just encourage every one of you to just turn up your discernment radars and make sure that you are testing everything and not just accepting every wind of doctrine that comes your way and being tossed to and fro. We do not want to be that. We want to be ladies that are discerning and that are in the word and that we study it and show ourselves approved. And so don't shoot the messenger on that. I'm just telling you what John says. He says we will know the truth and we will be discerning. So verses 24 and 25, again, it's going to talk about embracing false teaching. It's going to remind us that if we are believers, we will stay in the faith. We will persevere. We will run with endurance to the finish line. We won't deny who Christ is and who he says he is. Just like in the first test that we looked at, we will affirm his deity. So I just want to, again, read verses 24 and 25, where it's talking about, as for you, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and the Father. This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. So think about that. Think about that today and line yourself up with that. Am I being discerning? Am I enduring? Am I not departing from the truth and from what all I know is true and right in the Bible? And John has this circular style of teaching. And I should have probably pointed that out when we first got started in this book, but he goes in circles. So as we go through more verses in this book, you're going to feel that. You're going to be like, wait a minute, I think we've already kind of covered this concept, but he is reaffirming, coming back over, and he is repeating all of these truths in a circular fashion just to remind us, this is what it means to be a Christian. This is who is in the faith. So we want to take careful note of that when that starts to come up. And that's what he's doing here. He's doing more circular style. He's coming back around to that concept in verses 24 and 25, saying, if we stay faithful to the Bible, we will endure, we will persevere. It's when we move outside of it that we are subject to the enemy's traps. And that is why it is so important to stay in the Word, be in a good church, listen to good teaching, listen to good pastors. Just surround yourself with other believers who are rooted in God's Word, and they are not into all of these new trends. And I always think of what Steve Lawson, a great, you know, pastor there in the faith, that he always says, and he will say, if it's new, it's not true. And I love that because it's such a good reminder. And even John MacArthur says, true Christians have a built-in lie detector and they persevere in the truth. Those who remain in heresy and apostasy manifest the fact that they were never genuinely born again. So if you remain and stay in heresy and in error and listening and reading false teaching, that is a very good indicator that you are not born again. That is so serious. And I just pray that we take that to heart today and we look at our lives and see, has someone warned us that is a true believer, that I know they're in the Word? Have they warned us about something in my life that they see as maybe, you know, I need to be cautioned about? Don't just brush that off. Take time to see what it is that they're showing you. Take it to Scripture and see if it truly is an area that you need to be more discerning in. So then we go to verses 26 and verses 27. It's a reminder. He knows that false teaching is everywhere, and he tells us to guard our hearts. And it's a reminder that false teaching exists out there to try to deceive people. But the Holy Spirit will be our compass. He will guide us, and through that we will persevere and endure if he is truly in us. So this is our test here, the endurance, perseverance test. Do we endure through life's hard challenges and trials, and we don't depart from the truth and we don't just give up and walk away, but do we press on, and are we discerning about the things that we are engaged in? Think about that today. That is our test. And I just want to challenge you, like I do every time, think about what is in your life that maybe you need to take a better look at. Is there something you need to repent from that you've been engaging in, that you've been allowing your mind to not be quite so discerning about a different area that you've been just loving and absorbing? Is there something there that you need to stop and repent? Are you persevering through life's trials? Are you staying in him amidst the hard times and not departing from the church and from fellowship and from the truth and from reading the Bible? Think about those today, and I'm just going to ask if you pass the test. All right, ladies, you can find these lessons on naomistable.com under the Bible Studies tab, Lesson 10, Test 6, the Endurance Discernment Test.
All right, ladies, well, that was the discernment test, and I think these are fantastic, Nancy. I think these lessons really help us to see, do I need to examine myself? Am I really a discerning Christian?
I agree. You know, I look at what's going on in the world as far as false teachings, and there's so much out there that is maybe sounds true.
Yeah,
but when you really look into it, it really doesn't have much to do with the biblical truth at all.
No, and a lot of ladies say, well, the Holy Spirit helps me discern, and he does. But then they come to a conclusion that, well, I'm feeling a peace about, or I feel really good about this particular teaching or book that I'm reading or Bible lesson that somebody's put together. And, I have a peace about it. Well, the Bible doesn't tell you to have a peace about it. It tells you to be a Berean and study everything against the Word of God, just as the Bereans did in Acts 17. And of course, Paul said, hey, good job, way to go. Now, that's Amy's paraphrase. Of course, you'll want to get a good word-for-word translation. But Nancy, we do need the Scriptures to be our final authority.
We do. And I think we also need to rely on the Holy Spirit. Each one who is a true believer has the Holy Spirit in him. Mm-hmm. And as she quoted John MacArthur as saying, that true Christians have a built-in lie detector, and that's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You should have red flags going up when you are hearing false teaching.
Yeah, we cannot trust our feelings.
No.
And, you know, if we feel like the Holy Spirit is telling us something, check it against Scripture.
And most of these false teachings are ones that minimize sin.
Yeah.
They take us away from the truth that all of us still sin and all of us still need to repent daily. We have been forgiven. We've been given that grace. But when we have sin in our lives, it separates us from Him. Yeah. You can feel it tangibly, the separation from Christ. Just knowing that you've cut off that communication with Him in your spirit. And I think that when we look at all of the seeker-friendly churches and churches, first of all, are not meant for seekers. Churches are meant for the committed believer who wants to grow in holiness and wants to grow in knowledge of God.
Wow, amen. Yeah, you know, Nancy, so the minimization of sin is one way that false teaching can take root because, of course, in our flesh, we want to minimize it. The other one, and Lori mentioned it, too, I don't know if we need to really go into it, is kind of that secret knowledge that, you know, if I just do these things, I'll be on this spiritual path where I can bypass the Bible and get right to, you know, these really neat spiritual experiences. Well, no, we can't be doing that. We can't be ignoring Scripture. But Nancy, speaking of Scripture, as we close out the program today, I know you found some Bible verses that really are apropos to what we've been talking about today.
Yeah, well, we've been talking about the whole show. I am in Matthew 24, and these are Jesus' words of warning for the last days. And starting in verse 36, he says, "But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect."
Oh, Nancy, thank you so much for that. And again, ladies, in Matthew, you'll find those verses. But I just want to say, you know, we're going to continue this conversation tomorrow because it's so important right now, especially for the times we're in. The truth does cut like a sword. And Jesus said that himself. And we're going to be talking about that, how that sword of truth, when it happens close to home and divides people, especially families, it really cuts deep, doesn't it? So we're going to give you some practical tips tomorrow straight from Scripture, and I hope you can join us. Pull up a chair. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a blessed day in the Lord.
Thank you for joining us today at Naomi's Table. We encourage you to head over to naomistable.com for resources, articles, Bible study guides, and much more. Until next time, be equipped and encouraged in God's Word.